Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and streaming live on Facebook, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. I'm John Schaefer. Bette Smith was born and raised in Brooklyn, but for her debut LP, called Jetlagger, she draws on the sounds of Southern gospel, soul, and R&B. Now let's face it, if you're going to try and do that music right, you're going to need a big band with a full complement of horns. And so we have a pretty crowded house here in the Soundcheck studio today as Bette Smith and her crew have rolled in to play some songs for us live. Beginning with Manchild, here is Bette Smith and her band. That is Bette Smith and her band live here in the Soundcheck studio with Manchild. What was that at the end of the song there?
It was in voice last class, they said it's a guttural shock.
Yeah, it was a guttural something. It was not. Bette Smith's debut album is called Jetlagger, and she's here with her band, which today features Curtis Jay on guitar, Albert Gould behind the keyboards and near our piano, Sam Bevan on bass, Max Yaski behind the drum kit, and the horns. Brad Baker is playing tenor sax, Brian Crock the baritone sax, Michael Sarian playing the trumpet, and of course, Bette Smith leading the way with vocals. How did you start singing? Where did you start singing?
Well, I started singing at 5 years old in church. My dad, Lloyd Smith, was a choir director, and he brought me to church every Sunday. And one Sunday, he asked me to start rehearsing. So my aunt took me home, and she taught me the song. Called Beautiful Flowers would be the first song I ever sang in public. Mm. And ever since that day, I just got the bug. Really liked the applause, and I love singing, and I love talking to the audience.
And there are, you know, you can hear echoes of that kind of that churchy sound in some of the songs on this record. Is it Sweet Angel of Joy,
I think? Yeah, Sweet Angel of Joy.
And that is kind of a classic pattern that we've seen in a lot of American music over the years.
True.
You think of people like Wilson Pickett or Aretha Franklin, who started singing spiritual songs and moved into considerably more secular material, as you have done. And sometimes that has occasioned a little soul searching among the artists or their families. What was your family's reaction when you started singing more kind of earthy songs?
Well, at first, they weren't that supportive because they felt like I should be singing only exclusively church songs. I literally had to fight for my right to sing secular songs. And it's been a fight and a struggle, but I never gave up. I had to be a warrior all my life because I really loved that Sam Cooke, Otis Redding, Aretha Franklin, Gladys Knight. Mm-hmm. I love that kind of deep Mississippi Delta type of music. It really moves me, and I just got to keep fighting the good fight.
You perform generally in yellow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Explain the significance of the color.
Well, a couple years back, my oldest brother passed away. His name was Lewis, and he had a very tragic ending because they had told him that he could get off of life support. But he said that, you know, if he ever got in that situation, that he would like us to not revive him. So when I saw the sign, do not resuscitate, on top of his bed in the hospital, it really shook me because I was like, you know, if you need a kidney, I'll give you a kidney. You know, you're my hero. Because I grew up in Bed-Stuy, and back in the day, it was really a hairy neighborhood. And they used to beat up people all the time. And a few of my family members got mugged. And he always protected me.
Mm-hmm.
He was always there to save me. He was my savior. And when he was dying, I was just very upset about it, you know. So his favorite color is yellow. So I promised myself that I'll wear yellow to remind myself of him and that he's got my back.
Mm. And was he supportive of your singing?
Very supportive.
Yeah.
He was the only one in my
family. A hero for a couple of reasons,
yes,
then.
Yes,
John. Yeah. Even on the album cover, there you are in yellow. So
yes.
That's all for Lewis, was his name?
It's all for Lewis Jr.
Yeah.
Lewis Jr.
So when did you start making the move from just being a singer to someone who writes some of her own material? I mean, the song you're going to do next might be my favorite on the record, and this is one of your own songs.
I Will Feed You, yeah. Well, I wrote this when I got my little heart broken a while back, and it was my first major heartbreak, so I just wanted to put it down on paper how I felt. And I was at a nightclub looking at some brass players and on 23rd Street and 8th Avenue, and I started crying. I don't know, something in the music moved me, and it all just comes pouring down my eyes. I was crying, and I started writing on a napkin the words of this song, I Will Feed You.
Hmm. So really one of those things, it's not like you're sitting there sweating over, it all just came in a burst of inspiration.
Yes, a burst of inspiration.
Huh, okay. Well, Let's recreate that burst of inspiration, yes, shall we, sir. Here in the Soundcheck studio. My guest is Bette Smith with her band. The album's called Jetlagger, and this song is called I Will Feed You.
Without a touch, you broke my heart, tore away a part of me. I've been searching for in the eyes of strangers. Without a sound, you melted away. That cold rain.
Yeah.
Wow. Bette Smith and her band live on Soundcheck. And that the ending especially of that song must be different every time you sing it. You got that four chord cycle going on behind you, and it just must be just a platform for you to fly.
Yes, absolutely, John. I just take off. It's like a bird.
It's a great song, and comes from this album called Jetlagger, which was produced by Jimbo Mathis.
That's right.
Who many listeners will know from the swing revival band, Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Squirrel Nut Zippers, yay.
Yeah.
Love him.
And so he produced the record. He co-wrote a number of the songs specifically for you.
He wrote several songs just for me, and I was really appreciative because... it's really, really wonderful to have somebody write songs from you, and they just know intuitively what kind of song you need, what kind of songs you need, what kind of songs tell your story. I don't know if he was peeking on my Instagram for many months, but he seemed to know that I really loved Angels, and he got that sweet Flying Angel of Joy song together for me. He wrote Man Child with Bronson too for me, and a couple of really hot songs, and they just... people seem to love them.
Now, where did the most of the recording of this album take place?
At Dialback Studios down in Water Valley, Mississippi.
Now, is that Delta? Is that the Mississippi Delta
region?
No,
it's further up north. It's not in the Delta,
so
but it's got a lot
in the
of
hill
flavor.
Country.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's right out of Oxford, Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, several miles out.
Was that your first time in that part of the country?
That was my very first time in the deep... down south.
Yeah.
Down south.
But having grown up in the church and singing that kind of stuff, you must have felt a kind of a kinship with the music down there.
I definitely felt like it was a coming home to a place where I'd never been.
That's a good way of putting it. And then some of the horns were tracked in Memphis?
All of the horns were tracked in Memphis.
Yeah. So that's, you know, kind of another great source of this music.
You said it. It was really inspirational. We flew back down there to see the horn section being laid, and it was amazing.
Yeah. But aside from that, it seems like most of this album was recorded kind of the way you guys are doing it here today.
That's right.
The idea was to reflect what the band sounds like in a live setting.
I think I sound best, my voice shines with live instruments. I mean, if there's ever a voice that really loves and respects live instruments, it's mine, because I feed off the power of the drums, the horns, the guitar, the bass, the piano, the keyboards. It ignites a fire in my stomach, and I just feel like I'm going to take off like an eagle in flight. So I really appreciate my band. Thank you, guys. You're beautiful.
And they're sounding great in this set of songs from Jetlagger, which is your debut LP, but there was an EP, a couple of years ago,
yes,
right?
Yes, we did do an EP.
And so are you still singing in church, or is it pretty much now just... recording and touring and all that
kind
of stuff?
It's pretty much the latter, recording and touring.
Yeah. And you'll be heading to Europe
in
the new
year. Yeah, I'm so excited. We'll be going to Great Britain in February. And then we're going to Germany, Cologne, and Berlin. They're doing an in-flight magazine article with the biggest in-flight magazine in Germany, Lufthansa. They just emailed me out of the blue.
Wow.
And... gave me a offering, and I said yes. Yeah. And then,
will this be your first time in Europe?
No. I've been to Europe. I was asked to come up. Somebody saw me live, not live, but doing a performance on YouTube a couple of years ago, and he asked me. It was in in January, February. We flew down there. Mm. I mean, we flew to Amsterdam, and. We did a show in Amsterdam and a couple of other European countries, the Netherlands and...
So you got to see parts of Europe before you ever got to go see Mississippi or Memphis or...
That's what Jetlagger, that's why we call the album Jetlagger.
Is it?
I love to fly and
okay.
I end up feeling jet lag, but I just pull all my energy and get it together.
Yeah. All right, well, let's hear another song from the album. This one is called Shackle and Chain. Once again, it's Bette Smith and her band. They're playing live for us here on Soundcheck.
From these shackles of love.
All right, look, I love radio. I got into radio because I think there's a magic to not seeing everything. But sometimes I'm just so happy that we have the cameras on. That was one of those times. Dancing her way through the studio, Bette Smith, while singing the song. It should be Shackles and Chains, shouldn't it? But it's singular. It's Shackle and Chain.
Yeah, I think that was because, I have to ask Jimbo, but there's another song with plural. So he wanted to make a difference. I think so.
Okay. All right.
I could be wrong.
Well, whatever he wants, however you sing it, worked for me.
Thank you.
And Albert and Curtis pressed into service as your backing vocalists.
Yeah, Albert and Curtis are the best, man.
Well, the whole band sounds great.
They're wonderful. They're beautiful guys.
And the album Jetlagger is out now, debut LP from Bette Smith. And Bette, to you and the boys, thank you so much for coming in and playing for us today.
Thank you, John. You're beautiful. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, we do have the cameras on, so people will see that I'm, in fact, not beautiful now. But nice try. Bette Smith and the band, live here on Soundcheck. That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other performances, video shot in the studio, the daily gig alerts, weekly music roundups, new sound shows, and more. Check it out at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.